It got to the point where within about 90 minutes, I could get half that route done easily, no problem. Because you knew where things were. You got that experience that you needed. And the same is true here. When it comes from the doctrine of Christ and the Word of God and spending time in these things, the believer learns. Dear believer, it is vital for you in your walk with God to know more about Him. It's a benefit to your soul. Spend time in His Word. Spend time reading. Spend time in prayer. Spend time under the preaching of the Word of God.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need.
Challenge you.
You've been listening to The Mercies of God by Fred Greenfield. Thank you for joining with us today on Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we are delighted to be able to bring the Word of God to you again. It is our prayer and our desire that you will be edified in your faith, built up in godliness through the ministry of God's Word. If you know not the Saviour, that you would indeed consider your ways and turn in faith and repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to go to our pulpit at Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church for the final part of that message entitled Living by Faith in the Fullness of the Spirit.
Well, we're to be faithful witnesses. We see something of that here in Acts chapter 2. Because I want you to note verse 47, they praised God, praising God and having favor with all the people. They were an example. Having favor with all the people. Is that not something that's a good thing? Imagine a Christian who doesn't have favor, who's looked down upon. Someone says to you, well, we need to make this business deal. But let's not go to this guy because, well, he says he's a Christian, but he's corrupt. He'll fleece you for your money. He'll deceive you. Let's go to this man. He's not a Christian. He's an atheist, but he's going to be honest for some strange reason. How sad it would be for a true believer if the men of the world spoke like that. Don't trust the Christian. We're to have favor with all people. And that is helpful as we seek to live out the gospel of Christ. We're reminded, and the apostles were told this in Acts 1 verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The believer is to be a witness. And the apostolic pattern is here. They started in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria, and then the uttermost part of the earth. And that is very striking. What was Jerusalem? Jerusalem was home. They were to start at home. They were to move out. And move out again, and move out again into the uttermost part of the earth. But there was to be a starting place at home. And how true that is when we think of the Church of Christ. We're to start at home and serve the Lord. You know many young people, and well, they would have loved the opportunity, and they took opportunities to go to the mission field, to go to Africa, to go to Asia, to go to other places, to see these works further afield. But they never went to the prayer meeting of the church. They never went on the church's outreach or helped with the various meetings for children in the church or anything like that. They didn't want to witness where they were known. But there was this enticing pull by the exotic location further afield. And it's not to be like that. God may call and send us further afield. I'm a little farther from home than I ever thought I would be. But how did I start? It was at home. It was in the local church. It was in the children's meeting of the local church. That's where I first really served the Lord. The youth fellowship as well. Those two things. Helping out with the children and being on the committee at the youth fellowship, helping with that, taking opportunities to speak here and there. That's how it started, the local church. And it went further afield as God gave opportunities and as God led and directed. But we must never forsake where God has placed us. Our witnessing starts at home. Then finally, I want us to consider then church membership. Church membership. Coming into Acts chapter 2, we see that many souls were converted to Christ. Moving to the end of this chapter, we see 3,000 souls were converted. and that the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved at the end of verse 47. And when we think of that today and we view it as membership in the local church, yes, attending, of aligning ourselves with the local church, but becoming a member of the local church, applying for membership, submitting ourselves to the oversight of the elders and the leadership. And that's the thought in view here. But in Acts chapter 2, we see in this early stage, the church came together and all that believed were together, verse 44. They continued steadfastly in fellowship as well. There was this joining, there was this association with the church of Christ. And therefore, what should the new believer do? They should associate themselves with the church. They should desire to come under the oversight of the church of Christ. And in Scripture, we see the Apostle Paul going across the ancient world, forming churches. Souls were saved. They became part of that church, that local church. And so the believer is to attend, is to be a member of a local church, is to align themselves with the people of God. The church is a blessed thing. Having a local church, having individuals who know and love the Lord, who serve the Lord with you, is that not a gift from God? Is that not a blessed thing? I've read over the years, especially in older centuries, of how families and Christian families were so isolated. I've maybe told you the story before of Thomas Spurgeon, the son of C.H. Spurgeon, who went to Australia. He suffered in the pollution of London, and he went to clear, as it were, his chest, his health, to help him. He went to Australia, that probably wasn't so polluted back then, and of course, lots of open space. And being his father's son, he preached. He went to this ranch, this farm in the middle of nowhere, and there he preached to this family and to their helpers on the farm. And the father owned several copies of Spurgeon's books of sermons. And because there was no church, no fellowship nearby, it was his duty as the head of the home to take down a copy of those sermons and to read them to his family every Sunday. No church fellowship, no Christian fellowship, bar their own household and their farm. So different from today, so different from churches perhaps at that time, even in London, that had hundreds and hundreds of people who attended. The Church of Christ, in coming together in this way, it is a privilege. It is a privilege. I've been in places and I've talked to individuals who haven't had this privilege, who grew up under communism, and they could not openly associate themselves, could not publicly associate themselves with a church of Jesus Christ. They couldn't. They privately did it under fear of the authorities. What a blessed thing it is to be a Christian, to have a church and a church that preaches the gospel of Christ, a church that remains true to the Word of God, because not every church is true to the Word of God. It is important to make sure, as new believers, as believers in Christ, that there is fellowship in a church that is faithful to the Word of God. Dr. Kearns, in his booklet, said that most major denominations have departed from the Word of God. They've embraced another gospel. They're involved in the ecumenical movement, the World Council of Churches. So many things going on. And the gospel of Christ is being watered down. What are we to look for in a church? We need a church that is confessional, that holds to a standard of faith, a church that is united in doctrine and practice, In other words, we believe something and we practice that very same thing. There are churches today that believe this, but they do something else. We need a church that is separated from apostasy, separated from ecumenism, separated from that which is false. A church that stands for Christ, a church that loves Christ, a church that calls people to personal holiness, a church that honors the Lord's Day, a church that cares for the people of God, a church that preaches faithfully and is evangelistic. So many things to look for. And there's to be a separation from churches that are unclean, churches that have compromised on the great truths of the Word of God. We can think of the World Council of Churches and how they bring in churches of all different persuasions together. Presbyterians and Anglicans and all sorts. And the Roman Catholic Church is there in the mix. And we're separate from such organizations. And we should be separate. The Word of God says to come out from among them and be ye separate. I've been a Free Presbyterian all my life. I've known nothing else. I grew up with that separated under the gospel attitude. I grew up hearing stories of ministers and elders in Northern Ireland who didn't faithfully present the gospel of Christ. I heard testimonies from individuals growing up, a bit older than me or my age. Real stories, real accounts of how they attended church week in, week out, faithfully. How they came up through the Sunday school. Every week, Sunday school prizes, attendance records, whatever it was, they were there, part of the church. And how many said, not once I heard the gospel. Not once I heard I needed to be saved. Not once did I hear I had sin within my heart and my soul, and I needed Christ, and I needed to believe on Christ and to turn in repentance. These were real things. I never experienced it firsthand until a family funeral. I've told you about that before. How an old Anglican canon was told about my deceased relative. Isn't it great that a year or so before he passed away, he trusted Christ as Savior. He was saved. And his response, many of you may remember it. Sure, we're all going to heaven anyway. In other words, the gospel, preaching the gospel, standing firm upon the gospel, it does not matter, is what he is saying. He was a retired canon within the Anglican Church. So he wasn't a young man who wasn't too sure of what he believed. He had been there. He was in his 70s, maybe older. And what was he doing all those years if that was his attitude and that was his belief? Working against the gospel of Christ. But there are those who think that they can associate with such a church and with other churches of like-minded individuals. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're all in this together. Well, if you're not preaching the gospel of Christ, we're not in it together. We're to come out from among you and be separate. A friend of mine told me the story about one of their family members. They were brought up in one of these denominations in Northern Ireland. They never heard the gospel. Again, faithful church attender, never heard the gospel. And they were converted by the grace of God in their 60s. They loved the Word of God. They loved attending the meetings and worship once they were saved. They loved the gospel. They never heard it in the church that they came from. And because of that, there was a rejection of all those other denominations that had men within them who never preached the gospel. The Presbyterian Church of Ireland, the Church of Ireland itself, the Anglican Church, because of the rejection of the gospel, there were some good men, lots of bad men. And the general consensus was there was a departure from the faith and from the gospel. They never heard the gospel in those churches. But how thankful they were for a church that preached the true gospel of Christ. This individual watched one of their parents pass away. They had been in that church. They never heard the gospel apart from being presented to it by this family member. And they watched them literally as they took their last breath, as they entered God's eternity in hell. And that's a terrible thing. No peace. And this is what this is about. If the gospel of Christ is revealed in Scripture, and as we've considered, is not preached, what is the option? There is no option. There is no way of salvation. And that individual, they took their last breath. They entered into God's eternity without a profession of faith. And there was no peace. No peace. When this person was converted, they realized that family members were actually in hell because they didn't hear the gospel at the church that they attended. What a privilege we have. Young people tonight as well, you're privileged to be in a church and a denomination that you can hear the gospel of Christ. The sad thing is that, and I've seen this growing up, that even in Free Presbyterian circles, we can take for granted the preaching of the gospel. We expect it. We're used to it. We're used to hearing about sin and about the Savior and about salvation. It's expected. It's done. But it's not appreciated as the great privilege that it is. We always should appreciate it. Maybe you've come out of churches that never preached the gospel. Maybe you've never experienced a church that has never preached the gospel. But it happens. It's real. And how dangerous it is to the true gospel and to souls. Separation is vital. Why would we want to compromise the truth of the gospel by joining hands with those who are up to their eyes in all the nonsense of the ecumenical movement and churches coming together and churches that know nothing about preaching the true gospel of Christ? We're to stay outside it. We're to preach the true gospel and the pure gospel. And so the new believer is to desire a church and to side with a church that must be a true church. Must be a church that preaches Christ. Must be a church that loves the doctrine of Christ. Because it is that true doctrine that builds up. Let us remember that doctrine is important. Let us remember that our understanding of the gospel is absolutely vital. Let us never compromise our understanding of the gospel of Christ. Let us never turn around to those who do not preach that gospel or align with those who do not preach that gospel and say, we'll work with you. Because it's not working together when two sides are opposite. Someone's car broke down this evening and they needed a bit of a push to try to get the thing started. I'm not sure if we do that nowadays. Cars are so advanced. But 20 years ago, we used to do that a little bit. And imagine if you went out to push the car in the forward direction. And then three men from the church came to the front of the car. And as you started to go, you're all pushing in opposite directions. You're not going to get very far. That's exactly what happens when churches who know Christ and love Christ come together to work with churches that know nothing of the gospel. You're pushing against each other. You're doing nothing. Nothing for Christ. Nothing for the cause of the gospel. You're not going anywhere for Christ. Oh, may we be separate from it. And may the Lord lead us and keep us in churches that know Him and preach Him for His honor and for His glory. May we appreciate it. May we see it as a privilege and a gift that God has given. And let us pray and desire that it would be protected. May the Lord bless His word for His name's sake. Amen.
Spurgeon's devotional today is taken from Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5. Thy Redeemer. Jesus, the Redeemer, is altogether ours and ours forever. All the offices of Christ are held on our behalf. He is King for us, Priest for us, and Prophet for us. Whenever we read of a new title of the Redeemer, let us appropriate him as ours under that name as much as under any other. The shepherd's staff, the father's rod, the captain's sword, the priest's mitre, the prince's sceptre, the prophet's mantle, all are ours. Jesus hath no dignity which he will not employ for our exaltation, and no prerogative which he will not exercise for our defence. His fullness of Godhead is our unfailing, inexhaustible treasure house. His manhood also, which he took upon him for us, is ours in all its perfection. To us our gracious Lord communicates the spotless virtue of a stainless character. To us he gives the meritorious efficacy of a devoted life. On us he bestows the reward procured by obedient submission and incessant service. He makes the unsullied garment of his life our covering beauty. The glittering virtues of his character are ornaments and jewels. And the superhuman meekness of his death are boast and glory. He bequeaths us his manger, from which to learn how God came down to man, and his cross, to teach us how man may go up to God. All his thoughts, emotions, actions, utterances, miracles, and intercessions were for us. He trod the road of sorrow on our behalf, and hath made over to us as his heavenly legacy the full results of all the labours of his life. He is now as much ours as heretofore, and he blushes not to acknowledge himself our Lord Jesus Christ, though he is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Christ everywhere and every way is our Christ, forever and ever most richly to enjoy. O my soul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, call him this morning thy Redeemer. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we are also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. Join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.